Anittam brought. Ahuya calling. Praradam pralada. Daityayajakaha. The priest of the demon Hiranyakashipu. Prashasya. By pacifying. Shlakshnaya. With a very mild. Vacha. Voice. Samaprachanta. They questioned. Samabihi. By very agreeable words. So translation. When Hiranyakashipu's servants brought the boy Prahlad back to the Gurukula, the place where the Brahmanas taught the boys, the priest of the demon Sandanamarka pacified him. With very mild voices and affectionate words, they inquired from him as follows. So purport by his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Sandanamarka, the priests of the demons, were eager to know from Prahlad Maharaj who the Vaishnavas were that came to instruct him in Krishna consciousness. Their purpose was to discover the names of these Vaishnavas. In the beginning, they did not threaten the boy, because when threatened, he might not identify the real culprits. Therefore, they very mildly and peacefully inquired as follows. We have to leave. Okay. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, this is a very common method of trying to deal with people who you might consider to be your enemies or someone who you want to get information from. Just like I'm sure the parents with the children, the first thing they do when they want to find out something that the child has done or something the child's friend has done, they say, oh, my dear Keshav, or my dear Isha, would you like to tell me what it's all about? Because this is called Niti Shastra. Niti Shastra is like the duties of someone in ordinary society, especially the duties of a king or someone in charge of something. There's different ways of dealing with either enemies or people you want to get something from. This, of course, was what was being taught to Prahlad Maharaj. It's a very manipulative system of techniques. The first item in the Niti Shastra of trying to convince someone or get some information from someone is sweet words, which is mentioned here. They didn't threaten. Threatening is actually one of the last things. The first thing is sweet words, and then if that doesn't work, then you get a little bribery. If you tell me, like you can tell the children, if you tell me the secret, I will take you to the movies, or I'll give you a cookie, or I'll, what else do the children do? I'll give you a sweet ball, or I'll buy you a new set of clothes. You don't want clothes. So this is called, the second item is called bribery. And you use this constantly in India. You know, when you want to get something done, usually sweet words is not enough. So you have to just offer someone some facilitation fee, as they say in India. You facilitate someone, or you facilitate the service. And then if that doesn't work, usually you give someone a high position. This is in the business field, of course, or in the political field. You say, oh, wouldn't you like to be in charge of cleaning the house today? You can be the boss. You know, because first you ask them sweetly, would you like to clean your room? And then if you clean your room, I'll give you this. And then after that, oh, you can be in charge of the house cleaning or whatever. You know, so that's called a high position. And another one, the next item of dealing with enemies or trying to get something from someone is called divide and conquer. It's called Veda. Veda means to divide. And so the way you do that, let's say you have two children and they're both keeping a secret. So what you do is you say, Keshav, do you know what Isha said about you? She said, you know, she doesn't like you. And then you go to Isha and you say, Isha, do you know what Keshav said about you? He doesn't like you. And this way, you can turn two friends into enemies. And if they both happen to be your enemies, they fight each other. There was one interesting story of how that was done. There were two demons. Their names were Sunda and Upasunda. And basically, they had performed great austerities and gotten a benediction that no one could defeat them. They could never be defeated except by each other, because they were brothers, or brother and sister, because they weren't sisters, but anyway, you get the idea. So they only could be defeated by each other or killed by each other. So they got that benediction from Lord Brahma. So they became so powerful. You know, sorry, let me finish this story. You don't tell it. So they became so powerful that nobody could defeat them. They were destroying the brahmanas, hermitages, and they were just creating problems. So they went to Lord Brahma, and they said to Lord Brahma, that is the other demigods, they said, what can we do? And Lord Brahma, what he did is he called for Vishwakarma. You know who Vishwakarma is? He's an architect. You know what an architect is? That's a builder, someone who builds things or designs things. And he said, you create me the most beautiful girl. And so what they did is they took different, this is like genetic engineering, actually. They took the genes for like a nice nose, nice eyes, lotus eyes, and nice hair. And they put them all together. And they came up with a girl whose name was Tilotama. That means topmost sesame girl, sesame seed. Tilotama means like a sesame seed. So in India, sometimes if you really like your wife, you call her my little sesame seed. I don't think you do that in Fiji, do you? Like if you said to your wife, my dear sesame seed. She doesn't like it. What do you think I am, a sesame seed? So then what happened is this Tilotama was created, a very beautiful girl. And she circumambulated the demigods, and because she was so beautiful, some of the demigods grew extra eyes to see her. And some of them grew extra heads when she went around, because they couldn't turn their heads all the way. And so they had extra heads. And so they sent her on their mission to go see these two boys, Sunda and Upasunda. In the meantime, Sunda and Upasunda, you know the story, you heard it? Sunda and Upasunda were drunk. And, you know, drunk people, sometimes they have friends, they put their arms around each other, and they sing songs. You ever seen this? They sing drunk songs. And they were just buddies, they were friends. So then what happened is Tilotama, the sesame girl, came, and she disappeared before them, and she said, hi. And then one said, she's mine. And the one said, she's mine. The other one said, get out of my way, you creep. And the other one said, I'm the older brother. And the other one said, well, you're supposed to serve me. I'm the younger brother. And this way they started a fight. And they killed each other. This is called Veda, where you create a common enemy. Just like, you see this in modern politics? This is actually quite common. In modern politics, this principle, divide and conquer. You know, you make your enemy fight with you. The British did that. The British, when they were leaving India, they actually stimulated or caused the Hindus to fight with the Muslims. And in this way, they were able to, of course, they didn't conquer, they left India, but they felt so bad they wanted to leave a trail of destruction in their wake. You know, it's really horrible. And India was devastated for a long period of time because of this divide and conquer type of thing by the British. So, anyway, so if that doesn't work, divide and conquer doesn't work, the next step is what's called threats. You threaten someone. If you don't do this, Keshav, if you don't do this, you're going to get a spanking. Did you ever have hear that? No. You never got a spanking? Yes. Like my mother used to say that too. That if you don't behave, I'm going to make it so you can't sit for a week. And of course, she never caught me. So it never worked. So, that's the threat. So they could have threatened Prahlad Maharaj in the beginning here. And then the final thing is called argumentum ad vaculum. Ad vaculum means without speaking. So that means you beat someone. And sometimes you see, in certain countries, actually in Fiji, they do this. When they capture a criminal, they want to make him confess. What do? They beat them until they confess. India's actually done too. That's the final strategy. Although it's usually not that effective. It's usually better to do sweet words. Most, like if you investigate the modern techniques the police use, is mostly sweet words, or they use something called good cop, bad cop. You understand? You understand what that is? That you have one policeman comes in and he says, you know, I know what you're going through, you know, this other guy, you know, he's real creepy. You know, the other, and so they have one policeman who's actually like threatening the guy and yelling at him, another one who's just like super sweet. And the super sweet one says, I can get this person to keep quiet, if, you know, let's just talk. I mean, we're friends. I don't like what you're going through. And so that's usually the techniques they use in the police department or other things. You know, also word analysis too, which is actually a much more complicated science, where they can analyze someone's usage of words and determine what they're saying underneath, implicitly. So in any case, this is Niti Shastra. And Hiranyakashipu's servants wanted to find out who was contaminating their student. And you do this in school sometimes, who's contaminating. Like when I came home one day, you know, I came home when I was young, speaking some bad words, and my mother said, who has taught you this? So she wanted to find out because I never told her. And so, anyway, so they want to find out, and they're doing this in the Guru Kula. Guru Kula means the place of the Guru. And it's very interesting. This is actually the Guru Kula of Shukracharya, who's not actually a bona fide guru. I hate to tell you that. But the point is that the Guru Kula, or understanding what the Guru Kula teaches, is important too. At least as far as Vaishnavas are concerned. There's another verse in this volume, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Guror Hitam, that one should actually, even if one doesn't go to the physical Guru Kula, or place of the spiritual master, one should learn certain things when they are young. What do you think one should learn? Well, yeah, not only about Krishna, but Brahmachari Guru Kule. Like when one is a single student, and also you can say Brahmacharini Guru Kule, Vasandanda, Guror Hitam, they learn to work for the benefit of the Guru. Now, the Guru isn't just like some selfish guy, like some of these bogus gurus you see, who just wants to exploit the disciple, but the Guru is working for the benefit of his Guru and working for the benefit of Krishna, ultimately. So, that's the very Guror Hitam. That means the benefit of the Guru, what the Guru wants, the Guru's instructions. And then, at the Guru Kula, the student learns Archa. That means like, not just like worship, but he learns good behavior. So the primary reason for schooling is not so much A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. It's character development. You understand? Sometimes people misunderstand. Just like I got a letter from one of my disciples yesterday. They said, well, if I teach my child in a Krishna conscious way, then how will they become very prominent in this world? You know, how will they have proper education? How will they go on to Oxford or Cambridge or something like that? Here's a letter I got. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing what they said. And I said, if you really want them to go to Oxford or Cambridge, you can teach them extra things at home. know, because they're concerned about academic level of education. You can teach them extra academic things at home, but the basic point is that one develops the character of a devotee. Character of a devotee isn't just meaning hearing about Krishna. That's Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasantana Gurohitam. Archian, and then Dasavan is very important too as a character development point. Dasavan means your servant. Keshav, do you know that you're a servant? Do you act like that all the time? No, so he needs to have that instilled in his consciousness that he's a servant. Wow. Is that pleasant to think you're a servant? He's thinking about it. He's agreeing just because I said it. Dasavan, Nicho, so you have to go now? We're going to see you again this trip? Or?
In the evening.
In the evening, okay. Krishna. Children are crying when they hear this one. This must be taught. Of course, at home, the parents should teach this. If the child is going to regular school, the parents should teach this to the children. You know, good behavior, cleanliness, these are all character things. And then, ultimately, they should be taught that Krishna is one's best friend, and the guru is one's best friend, too. And in the traditional Vedic culture, they actually did this in the village Gurukula. There's one interesting story about this I'd like to tell, just to illustrate the point, how one learns to become a servant. Once upon a time, you'd like this story. Once upon a time, there was a disciple and a guru. And the disciple was told by the guru, you go out and you herd the cows every day. The guru wanted to send the disciple out because the disciple was a little overweight. And he wanted the disciple to lose some weight. You know, he was concerned, naturally, for the disciple's self-control, sense control, and the disciple's health. So he sent the disciple out. Okay. And so, but the disciple didn't lose any weight. He was gaining weight. And so the guru asked, you know, what are you doing out there? And the disciple said, well, when I go out, I take care of the cows like you asked me, but I'm also begging. And that's fun because people give me a lot of nice things like sweet rice, halva, pakoras, pizza, and everything like that. He said, I really like the service you gave me, Gurudev. And so then the guru says, that's not proper. You're supposed to offer everything to the guru. And you only take if he gives you permission. And so the disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And so he went out again, and still he was not losing any weight. And so the guru said, what are you doing now? And the disciple said, I am offering everything to you when I beg, but then I beg a second time for myself. And so the guru said, you rascal. Every time you beg, you should be doing it for me. So then the disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj, yes, yes, whatever you say, Guru Maharaj. And then, so then he went out, kept going out, but still he had this health problem. He wasn't losing any weight. The guru said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm drinking the milk from the cows. And the guru said, the milk from the cows is meant for the calves, not for you, you rascal. And so then he kept going out and then still was getting a little heavy. And the guru said, what are you doing now? And he said, I'm just taking the froth. You know, when the calves drink from the cows, the froth comes from their mouth. And the guru says, you rascal. You know, you rascal, you're just taking something. The calves are just being kind to you, but actually they would want that stuff. And so he said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And at this point, the poor guy was just like trying to figure out how he could eat. So then he went out because he had a strong fire digestion. So the next time he went out, he just like everything he looked at looked like food. I mean, when you're really hungry, I mean, you basically want to chew on everything, even a tree. Basically, then, you know, someone's really hungry, the hunger is gnawing at your stomach. And so then he just grabbed some leaves from a tree and ate the leaves, and it was poisonous. And the poor guy got blind because of that. And because he was blind, he fell into a big, big hole in the ground, a ditch. And so the guru was worried, why didn't so-and-so come back from the pasture ground that night? So he went out with his disciples looking, 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 and he saw he saw his disciple in the ditch. And he didn't take his disciple out of the ditch. He said, just pray to the Ashwini Kumaras. They will actually solve your eye problem. And then you can come back. Somehow they didn't take it. It was a test. So this disciple prayed to the Ashwini Kumaras, Ashwini Kumar, Swaha, whatever he did. And the Ashwini Kumaras came, the heavenly physicians, and they gave him some cake. And he said, this cake is medicine, so take it. It'll cure your eyesight. And by that time, he had learned his lesson. He said, no, I'm not taking anything without my guru's permission. Even though it would cure his eyesight. And the Ashwini Kumaras were so pleased, they blessed him to get his eyesight back. And then the guru was so pleased that he blessed him. He said, no more austerities for you. Now he said, he blessed him. He said, now you can get married and have a wife cook for you. So that he lived happily ever after eating nice prasad and his wife cooked. So the moral of that story, that's a Mahabharata story, in fact. It was told in the beginning of the Mahabharata. The moral of the story is that's how we should be trained. And I remember I was trained in that in the early days in the movement, like that, living in, of course, the temple to work for the benefit of Prabhupada. So nowadays I just think of myself as Prabhupada's servant. So that's how all the children should be trained. Whether or not they're going to a gurukul, whether they're living at home or whatever, they should be trained in the service mood, that they are servants. Dasavan. Dasavan means full of service. Like we have the word Bhagavan, which means full of opulence or complete opulence. And Dasavan means full of service. So that should be our mood. We're servants. Gopi Bharta, Padakamala, Dasa, Dasa, Dasan, Dasa. That's the meaning of a bona fide gurukul. Of course, here in the Asura Kula, they were teaching Prahlad Maharaj the opposite. That he was the master and he should use politics to manipulate. Okay, so any questions or comments about these things?